Welcome to the Coach Brittany Nicole podcast. I'm Brittany Nicole. I'm a personal development coach, and it's literally my job to help people reach their goals. But this was not always my job. In fact, I have had several jobs. I have worked in IT. I have worked in employee development. I have worked as a business analyst. And it took me really years of figuring out what I was going to do before I finally decided to take the leap and start my business. I will say, I have always known that I wanted to work for myself, even as a kid growing up and going through high school. I'm very studious, so I never was like, I don't want to go to college. College is not for me. I love to learn. I would go to college if somebody paid me to just go to college and that was my job. That's what I would do because I'm a nerd. I love researching. I love studying. But I didn't think that college made that much sense for me because I always knew that I wanted to be in business for myself. And if I was going to go into debt for an education, knowing that building a business was on me and there was a lot of risk and having a college degree wasn't going to guarantee me success in my business, I opted to go to school and get a trade. But my career trajectory has been kind of all over the place. I actually, when I graduated school, I went to school for aesthetics. I got my esthetician's license and I studied makeup and skincare, and I thought that's what I was going to do. I haven't thought about this in a long time, but when I was about 18 years old, I started my first business, which was a makeup line that I called Play. And I had contacted the private label companies. I created my own logos. I chose my colors. I designed a catalog, and I was basically trying to create my own like little Avon circuit. And I was working full time at the time, and I was in school at the time, and I was basically, my money from my job was going back into my business. And that was like my first experiment with starting businesses. Ultimately, I decided that that's not what I wanted to do. And that kind of set me on a path of trying things and figuring out a lot of things. I started an online website. This was back when this was back when, like, you were using Yahoo to do online stores. And I taught myself how to create an online store. I was selling skincare products. I wasn't exactly sure what I wanted to do for my business, but I knew that I wanted to work for myself. Now, I remember a very pivotal moment in my ideas of what my business was going to be as an entrepreneur. And that was when YouTube started getting really popular, and I got, I don't remember how I found her, but I watched a video by this woman whose name is Marie Forleo. And she basically, I mean, she pioneered what so many people are doing now, which is coming online, sharing their expertise, creating content around like personal development and coaching and life and business. And she did that every week. Every week she had an episode where she gave advice on a topic. People submitted questions to her. And I admired that business model so much. She worked for herself. She had a team that supported her, but her business was entirely online. And then I started to see more women, especially, who were doing the same thing of having a business online so that they could work from anywhere, so that they could manage their lives and have some semblance of work-life balance. And I knew that was what I wanted. So I still wasn't sure exactly how I was going to do it, but I became crystal clear. I want an online business that's going to give me the maximum amount of autonomy so that I can work from wherever, I can travel, I can have a life. And then, you know, that I would say is like part two of me figuring out the type of business that I wanted. There are so many years in between this very, very sped up story of my life. But I say that to illustrate that last year, 2023, is when I actually made the leap of leaving my full-time job and starting my business. But there was a process from I would say the age of 18 to the age of 33 of me starting businesses, trying things out, failing, reiterating, and starting over again. And that's the thing about starting a business is the game is uncertainty. Okay? So if there's one piece of advice that I can start with regarding like considering to start your own business is how comfortable are you with uncertainty? Because that's the game. There is uncertainty with having a job because a company can let you go or change your position, or you know, you don't have as much security as you might think that you have, but you have some level of certainty in that I'm going to get paid X amount this many times. My work is going to look like X. This is who I'm responsible to. There's more certainty involved with having your own, having a job, having a boss, than there is with having your own business. So if this is something that you're considering, start practicing immediately getting comfortable with uncertainty. And also get in the practice of failing. Fail early and learn from your mistakes. I'm so glad actually that I started as many businesses as I did, because I would have never thought when I started my cosmetics line, I don't even remember what year that was, but I had to have been like 18 or 19. When I started my cosmetics line, I never thought that at 34, I would be coaching people through career and life transitions and helping them to figure out how to feel more authentic in the way that they're spending their time. I thought that I was going into makeup and beauty and that was my world. But the more I tried things and failed and got to know myself better, I got to see what actually was me. And I spent several years in the makeup industry. I did bridal makeup. I've been published in magazines. I actually got trained and certified to do permanent makeup. And that was around the time that I realized, you know what? This is not what I want to do. This is not what I'm interested in. It's funny. A couple of weeks ago, I actually found a journal of mine from 2014 where I was talking about my business ideas. And I said in the journal, I'm doing makeup now, but this isn't really feeling fulfilling for me. I want to do some type of coaching, perhaps maybe teaching makeup artists how to coach and how to build their business, etc. So I'm my 34-year-old version of myself is looking back at the 24-year-old version of myself and realizing that I had a passion for teaching then, but I didn't really know what I was going to teach. And living life and failing ended up bringing me to what I am doing now just by getting to know myself a little bit better. I will say I had one job in particular that I think really unlocked something in me, and that was my business analyst role, because I was working a lot with data. This was my first time getting to know Excel. And I just fell in love in a way that did not make any sense. Like Excel to me felt like a natural language. It was like a game. And I would get so fixated on creating things in Excel. Like I would literally dream about formulas and wake up with ideas on like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I need to build out this dashboard. It activated something in me. I wasn't really aware at that time that part of my cognitive functioning as an INTJ makes me highly analytical. I know that about myself now, but that was the first time that I really got to apply my natural talent for analytical and strategic thinking. And I was like, oh, this is something. This is something. So anyway, long story short is one, you got to get comfortable with uncertainty. And two, I recommend failing often, failing early, and learning from that process. And when I say learning from, like, be specific. I was able to learn from my mistakes because I kept notebooks of my ideas. I kept notebooks of my successes and failures. And I always reviewed what I did to learn from what I was doing. So I had all this data to analyze about my actions and my choices and refining my process, constantly refining your process. So let's talk about the meat. Like that's the, you know, the years leading up to me finally making the jump and quitting my job. What did I do when I actually was preparing to for real quit my job? Because I had been talking about quitting my job for, I don't know, maybe 7 years before I actually did it. So something became very clear to me. I was working full-time job where I had a lot of responsibility and it required a lot of cognitive and creative and social juice from me. And I actually really enjoyed that job. My boss was someone that I felt like was a guide and mentor to me. My team was, it was really collaborative and I enjoyed the people that I was working with. But I was going through a lot, personally and professionally, because I'm trying to do this job and I am also trying to build my business that I wasn't exactly sure what it was, but it was starting to sprout in me in a way that I couldn't ignore. So I kind of got to this crossroads where I had been investing time in my business and, you know, practicing coaching on the side. I had been trying to do my full-time job to the best of my ability, and I wasn't really giving either the proper attention that it needed. Like I did as much as I could until I got to a point where I was burnt out and I realized that I needed to make a choice. That I'm either going to do one or the other, and it was a no-brainer for me. At this time, having my own business had been something that I had been dreaming about since I was in high school. I never dreamed about climbing the corporate ladder. It was just something that I needed to do while I was figuring things out and while I needed to get my bills paid. So I got to this point where I'm like, all right, my business is not. I don't have the time and energy resources to build my business and also be great at my job. I'm at a place where I have to choose. And I will say I was not in a place where financially it was a comfortable decision for me to choose. So here's what I did. I first made the decision. I'm choosing this. I'm going to figure out how to do this, and I'm going to figure out a plan in order to quit my job and be strategic about it. And whatever sacrifices that I need to make, whatever adjustments I need to make, I'm ready to do it. I prepared myself, mind, body, and soul enough for this. So I'm going to research how to get this done, and it's going to happen. Step one is I made the decision. Step two, I would say, is I really looked for mentors, one in the form of other people's stories. Like I would go on YouTube and I created a playlist of people who told their journey of how they transitioned from their full-time job to their business. And I looked for trends. So one, in the stories that I watched from people, I was looking for people who had an authentic passion for their business and whose personalities were similar to mine. I didn't want somebody who just quit their job to start a business that they, you know, weren't really sticking to, or it wasn't something that was really aligned with who they were, because I knew that was the frequency that I was trying to be on. I was not looking for a business that was just gonna be a business and make me a lot of money. Like I was looking for a feeling of balance in my life where the work that I'm doing is contributing to me, not just financially, but also to my soul. So I looked in, you know, when I'm looking for people to analyze their journey, I looked for people who had an authentic passion for their business. I looked for people whose personalities were similar to mine, introverted, and, you know, having some of the same strengths and some of the same challenges. So I could kind of imagine what the process was going to feel like. And as I looked at all of these stories, there were some trends that stood out to me. So there were some people who said they quit their job. They made the decision. They quit their job. They didn't have a plan. They just decided that they were going to figure it out. And there were some people who had some money saved, or they had partners who were able to help them make the transition and still be able to support themselves. And everybody said the same thing, which is that they don't regret that they did it. But what I noticed is that the people who said that they had some money saved always said that, I'm saying that backwards. The people who said that they had no money saved, when they recounted like some of the regrets they had, one of the things they said that I noticed as a trend was like, I wish that I had had something saved up so that I didn't have to go through this period of feeling desperate to take on opportunities that aren't really aligned with me just because I need the money. So I paid attention to that. And in my head, I said, okay, I'm going to take a calculated risk. I realize that leaving my job is a risk. There is no guarantee. There is no perfectly safe way to do this. At some point in time, you just have to make the choice. But I am going to try and financially prepare myself at least for a couple of months so that I can have some time to build this thing up. So what I did was I simplified my expenses. I simplified my diet. I started doing my own nails. I did get my hair done, though. I have locks, and I am not like, I need somebody to do my locks for me. I'm just not going to do that. But I sold everything I owned. I used my money in my 401k, and my plan was I have X amount of money, and I'm going to try and accomplish these things in X amount of time. And if I do not become profitable by that time, then I will try and take on some kind of work that supports the work that I'm doing and still allows me to build my business. That was actually inspired by this book called Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert. And she talks about, I don't remember if it was book in mind that she had in particular or if she was just talking about writing in general. But I do remember her saying, like, when she made the decision that she was pursuing this thing, she told herself, okay, I'm going to always take care of me and my needs. And she treated writing like this thing that she needed to take care of. So that's how I view my business. I view my business like my baby, and I can't expect my baby to take care of me in the beginning. I've got to raise my business baby. So that was my plan. Simplify, sold everything, saved and budgeted, you know, for X amount of time, and then had a backup plan for if things didn't work out for me financially as I expected. It is not a risk-free plan, but I am happy with the way that I transitioned from my job. It gave me some sense of security. And I have to say, as I'm still figuring things out, but it does, I notice that my own creativity flows more easily when I feel a sense of security. When, you know, things become a little precarious, then you mentally, even if I don't make the decision, then taking on opportunities that are not as aligned with what I am trying to accomplish and what my main goals are as a business, they become a little bit more tempting. That phrase, like, not that I'm selling my soul at all, but, you know, it's that concept of like selling your soul comes from that need of I need these resources. So I have to give something of myself that I don't want to give so I can get these resources. And I think that the way that I did it was smart so that I didn't have to put myself in that position. But the thing is, like, I had to make some sacrifices materially. I had to make a lot of sacrifices. You know, one of the things that I knew my first year of business is like, girl, you ain't gonna be traveling like that. Like, maybe you can do a little this and a little that. And I definitely feel like I've made time in my life for doing the things that I enjoy. But I planned to make sacrifices at the baby stages of my business because my income is going back into investing into myself, and myself is my business. So investing into my business as well. So that's one thing. Simplify, be ready to make sacrifices. Another tip I would say is I started practicing taking risks and trusting my gut. And there's not a specific strategic way that I can tell you how to do that. I guess I can just say for me, what my intuition feels like is when I get an insight and it seems like some information has been locked in my mind, then I analyze all the scenarios that I can think of. And if my choice still seems logical, then I go with it. So let me make that more specific. I remember the day that it hit me, you need to quit your job. And the thought literally popped in my head, and it was terrifying. And I started trembling because I realized that it was true, that I had no other choice. I either had to choose my business or I had to choose my job, and I was going to choose my business, and that was going to be scary. But when I had that feeling, I took the feeling and I said, okay, let me analyze this. Is this a good time for me to do this? Well, is there ever going to be a good time? Okay, if I'm going to do it, how am I going to do it? And that's when I came up with my plan of I can sell this. I'm going to sell my house. I'm going to, make these sacrifices. And the logic worked out for me. As I continued growing and making investment in my business, I would lean into that gut feeling as well. And my gut feeling, like I said, it's a combination of I get an intuitive hit, and then when I question my intuition, it makes logical sense. And I go with that. I go with that. And a lot of business, when you're trying to figure out what you uniquely offer in the world, it's a combination of everything of who you are. It's your point of view. It's your background. It's your expertise. It's your skills. It's the way that you say things. And so, yes, there are a lot of business strategies and ways that you can grow your business, but you have to really leave room for that, the magic of who you are. And sometimes that means trusting your gut and your intuition and doing things your way instead of the way that everybody is going to tell you how to do it. You have to become the authority of your business. And when you're in business for yourself, you have to lose that feeling of expecting somebody to tell you what the answer is and expecting somebody to tell you what to do. Because something that I'm learning is it's a balancing act. Because I have several mentors, but sometimes I don't take their advice. And the mentors that I have are excellent. They are doing the best things in the best ways. But sometimes it's that's just not the way that I would do it. And you're the boss here. You have to be able to be the authority and say, I'm making an executive decision and I'm going to do this because it feels right. And I don't know why it feels right, but I'm going to take the risk and just trust my gut. Like I said from the beginning, a lot of being in business for yourself is being in the business of uncertainty. There's if you have no tolerance for risk, this ain't it for you. This ain't the life for you. I wanna go back a little bit because I forgot to mention something earlier, which was one of my strategies for preparing myself to quit my job was I hired a coach. I actually hired two coaches. I hired one coach that was specifically for my mindset and one coach that was specifically for strategic business structure and operations. And I think that was such a smart move looking back because my coach that worked with me on my mindset, my goal there was I need to get comfortable with risk taking. I need to get comfortable with fear. I have been playing it safe most of my life, and the decisions that I want to make going forward are ones that are going to require me to be able to tolerate a little bit of uncertainty and a little bit of risk. And I can tell that this is a weakness in me. So how I refine and develop myself as I look at the areas that I'm not strong, and then I go and find somebody to teach me how to improve that area. So I found my coach, Ben Harris. He's on Instagram at The Fear Guy, and he and I actually have a really cool conversation on Instagram Live about fear and overcoming networking with people who are from different cultures. I put it on an episode in the Coach Brittany Nicole podcast. So if you want to go back and listen to my episode with Ben, you can hear our conversation about my experience with him and fear and all how all of that stuff works. But I was really drawn to working with him because I knew that if I could unlock a confident relationship with fear, that was going to be an investment that paid off for decades. And that has proven to be true. I think that before then, I struggled a lot with perfectionism, and I still do to a degree. I'm not going to say that the perfectionism has gone away, but I realized that growth isn't always reliant on everything being perfect and excellent and up to my 100% standards. Sometimes growth is just movement. And working with a mindset coach actually helped me break through a lot of the limitations that I had. One of them for me was like, do I even have the right to be an authority? Who wants to hear what I have to say? Are the words that I'm saying, are the thoughts that I have even valuable to people? And I knew that I needed to get my mind right in order to do what it was that I was doing. And I didn't even know exactly what I was going to be coaching on yet when I hired Ben. I will say, working with Ben, that was a completely intuitive decision. It was like, I know that this is the right thing to do and I don't know why yet, but it feels completely 100% right. So I'm leaning into it. And then I had another coach, this program that I was in with her was for business strategy. And her name is Lauren Messiah. I was working through one of her programs, which she has a course. And then we did like a weekly Q&A. And we have the community where we can interact with everyone. And the interesting thing about Lauren is she is a coach, but she's a stylist. And fashion has very little to do with my business as a mindset and career and life coach. However, one, she has the same personality type as me. So the way that she communicates is very much the way that I communicate. And she also has a very like no BS policy when it comes to strategy. And that's something that I am very attracted to. And when I create content, I try to create things that are actionable and accessible and strategic. I don't like to give fluff. You know, I want to teach. I want it to land and I want it to be effective. So I watched over the years. I actually found her years ago when I was just looking for like style advice, but I stayed with her because she just spoke to me in a language that I understood. I saw her business grow, so I knew that she knew what she was doing, and I wanted to learn marketing from her in particular and business operations from her. So I'm working with these two coaches while I am working my 9-to-5 job, while I am building my coaching business on the side, and my brain is about to explode. But I think that was a great investment, is to hire people who have already done what it is that I am trying to do so that I can shortcut a little bit. Like, you're still going to make your own mistakes and you're still going to have to learn your own lesson. But the value of having mentors who have already traversed the path that you're going through is that they can kind of save you on some of the mistakes that you might be prone to making. So I'm glad that I made the investment to do that. And this is what kind of led me to coaching now, is there are many people who want to do exactly what I did, which was get out of, you know, the corporate America, stable, boring, lacking autonomy world, and get into a world where life feels a lot more fulfilling and authentic, and the work that you're doing nourishes you, not just financially, but emotionally, physically, spiritually, all of the above. So that's why I do what I do now. And that's kind of how I got there. I want to say also that, like I said earlier, having my own business was something that I had always known that I wanted to do, but it took me several years to figure out how I was going to do it. And even now that I have built my business and I am working in my business, it is still this iterative process of refining it. I mean, if you've listened to my podcast from the beginning, you know, I started my podcast as the Stress in the City podcast, and I had one direction that I was going, and then I had another direction that I was going, and now I have this direction that I'm going in. And in the future, things may continue to evolve because my business is me, my brand is me, and I'm a person and I evolve. And one of the things that I have realized is that there are always going to be people who are attracted to what you have to offer and people who aren't. And focusing on a niche has been kind of a challenge for me because, and this is something that my mentors, you know, have really helped me to see the value in, is that you're not for everybody. You can't be for everybody. If you think you're for everybody, you're for nobody. So that's one of the things that I've been refining in my process. But one of the things that I have, I feel like I've been saying one of the things a lot. Something that I've known for a long time was that I wanted to be in business for myself. Eventually, through this process of trial and error, I realized what I was good at. And what I am good at is teaching. What I am good at is communicating. And what I was good at, which I didn't realize I was doing, was coaching. I had a lot of people who were coming to me for coaching, for consulting, at my job, outside of my job, just because I had good advice, just because I had good ideas, just because I had a lot of skills to be able to help them write and communicate and think and process things. And so I kept getting the feedback from people, you should coach. Or I would get a lot, you should be a therapist. And I was like, I considered that. But coaching allowed me to kind of play with my work in a way that feels more authentic to me than therapy would allow me to do. But by the time I decided to quit my job, I had proven to myself enough that this was my gift. I knew that I was going to be able to make it as a coach because I felt competent in my talent and competent in my gift. And I still continued to get training and am still always going to be learning and improving my ability to coach and speak and teach and do all of the things that I do. But I was sure. I was sure that this was it. I didn't quit my job when I had my makeup line. I didn't quit my job when I was doing permanent makeup because I really wasn't sure about those things. I wasn't passionate about those things. It was something that I thought made sense, something that I thought was accessible, something that I thought would make me money. And when you're in business for yourself, you need that passion. You need to think of your business as the problem that you want to solve in the world. Because when the leads aren't coming, when the money's not rolling in, when you have self-doubt, when you get negative feedback, what's going to keep you going? If you're only in it for the money, if you're only in it because you think your business has something to give you and you don't have anything to give the world, it's going to be very easy for you to quit when things get hard. But if your whatever it is that you're pursuing is something that keeps you up at night. It's something that you constantly think about. It's a problem in the world that it just gets under your skin. And if you were to walk away from it, you would feel like you were being a part of the problem by not being a part of the solution. Like, that's the kind of conviction you need to have in what you're doing before you decide to leave your job. So ask yourself that. If you're ready to walk from your secure check and your secure lifestyle, how bad do you love this thing? how important is this thing to you? Is this, do you feel like this is your mission and your calling? Because you really need that type of conviction and that type of drive. So let me wrap this up, okay? I'm going to summarize the strategies that I used to get myself from quitting my job to starting my business. One, I started my business while I was working. I made the decision at a certain point, I am going to pursue my business, and I committed to that. Two, I hired coaches, one for my mindset, one for my business strategy, to help me get my mind right and help me to create a business that actually made sense and skip the beginner mistakes. Three, I watched a lot of stories and listened to people and got advice from people who had made the transition from their full-time job to their business. And I really looked out for the ways that they failed, the lessons that they learned, the trends that I noticed. And I took all of that data and created a strategic plan for myself where I, four, simplified my expenses, simplified my diet, my personal care. I sold everything that I needed to sell. I collected as much financial security as I could to make this a calculated risk, and even had a backup plan for myself if that didn't work out. Strategy number five, practice taking risks, trusting my gut, doing what I have to do to feel like the authority in my life, to know and believe that it is my job to make the decisions on what the direction of my life and my business is. Practicing that thought and feeling good about that, because nobody is going to do it for you and nobody's going to save you. And I would say number six, maybe this is not in order, but number six was being sure and having conviction about my gift, my talent, the problem that I want to solve in the world and how I can do that. And this is not an exhaustive list. I think it's a good place to start. I think it's some good things to reflect on if this is something that you're considering yourself. But trust and believe. There are still going to be things, even after you make the jump and even after you're well into your business, you're still going to be figuring these things out. You're still going to be hiring coaches to help you learn and, level up to the next place that you haven't been yet. You're still going to have to practice taking risks and trusting your gut and investing in yourself. But if that's like, if that sounds scary to you in an exciting way, this just might be the life for you. But if you're like, nope, I absolutely do not want to do that. I need to feel comfortable and safe right now. Well, that might be the life for you too right now, or maybe that's the life for you permanently. My guess is if you clicked on this podcast, there's something in you that wants more. So I want to say this, whether or not you do something about it right now, a year from now, 5 years from now, doesn't matter. Listen to that feeling. Don't ignore that feeling. Don't stamp it down. Don't try to make it go away, because it won't. Let it grow. Let the feeling grow. You don't have to do anything about it just yet, but you can think about it. You can marinate on it and let it grow and let it become its own thing organically in time. The last thing I want to share with you is actually a free resource that I have created called the Introvert's Work and Life Balance Plan. This is a 5-week course where every week I'm giving you a mini lesson and an assignment that'll help you to strategically create a plan for more work-life balance. This is a completely free 5-week course that covers understanding people-pleasing and shame, how to become comfortable with discomfort, how to develop your personal brand, what your work style is, and how to develop your work-life balance blueprint. So if you're interested in the course, the link is in the show notes. It is free. It is an excellent resource. I've made it to where it's very simple and easy for you to do. The exercises that you do each week are really fun, interesting, and reflective. And if you're an introvert like me who likes that type of introspective stuff, you'll be totally into it. If you're looking for more one-on-one support, you can schedule a free consultation for me with coaching for my 12-week accountability plan. There's a link in the show notes as well, so you can schedule a 30-minute consultation. We can talk about your goals, if we vibe, and how I can support you. And be sure to follow me on all social platforms at Coach Brittany Nicole for daily tips and strategies. Whew, that's a mouthful, but I think I covered everything. All right, y'all. I'll see you next time.